your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super pumped and extremely excited to have an amazing guest today, Dr. Bill Dorfman. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being here. For those of you that don't know, Dr. Bill Dorfman is a celebrity cosmetic dentist and has been practicing for over 30 years in the Beverly Hills area and has had a career unparalleled to any other dentist in history. He has transformed the smiles of celebrities such as Katy Perry, Usher, Anthony Hopkins, Fergie, Hugh Jackman, among many others. Dr. Bill's been featured on ABC's hit show Extreme Makeover and is currently a recurring guest co-host on the CBS Emmy Award daytime talk show, The Doctor. Oftentimes referred to as the Michael Jordan of dentistry, he has appeared on numerous TV shows, including Larry King Live, Oprah, Access Hollywood, E! Extra, Entertainment Tonight. And as the founder of Discus Dental, one of the world's leading dental companies, he has been able to help and lead the company from inception to more than $1.3 billion in sales, primarily with an award-winning tooth whitening product such as Zoom and Bright Smile. Now, there's more because this guy's so amazing. Dr. Bill has received 20 lifetime achievements, 2 Guinness Book of World Records, and is a New York Times bestselling author. He recently was even knighted by the Royal Order of Constantine, which I'd love to know more about that when we get into this. A passionate philanthropist, together with Garth Brooks and the Crown Council of Dentists, he's helped raise more than $44 million for children's charities. And he's also the founder of a nonprofit, Leap Foundation, where it's a week-long leadership program taught by the UCLA to over 400 students between the ages of 15 to 25 every single summer. Man, this gentleman, this amazing, beautiful man, Dr. Bill, is more than just a dentist, clearly. You know, he's an author, an entrepreneur, a philanthropist, TV personality, health and fitness enthusiast. Holy cow, this guy is jacked, and a proud father of 3 amazing daughters. Welcome to the show, my friend. It's so great to have you. I'm super, super excited. It was a mouthful, but I gotta give all the credit where it's due, man, you know?
I feel like we're done. Like, that was the whole show.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's great because, you know, literally it's going to be nice to actually really get to know each other because we've really just met about 15 minutes ago. And I love the fact when I have guests like that because, you know, we kind of, you know, send a couple emails, connect, you know, through social and really it's very... but once we get the time, then I actually get to dive deep with you. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So Dr. Bill, listen to this. So, you know, I talk with the Resilient Minds Podcast, you know, family and everybody that's listening. And I always share this brilliance of all these amazing entrepreneurs that are up and coming or have that, they're thought leaders, celebrities, pro athletes, doing amazing things on the planet. And one thing they always share is their experience. I call it their X factor. And I always ask this X factor, what has been the contribution of this experience that is always giving back to their why, their big purpose, their why factor. So I know you have tremendous accomplishments and you've been on quite a long journey already, but in a Cole's Notes version, you know, because I know we only got an hour, how has your experience evolved to really manifest into your big why?
How has my experience evolved to my big why? All right. So let's start with the big why.
I love it.
You know, I grew up in very, very humble beginnings. In fact, normally when people introduce me and they say, hey, Dr. Bill, didn't you grow up in very humble beginnings? I correct them and say, nah, dude, we were broke ass poor. And we really were. I mean, the year I applied to college was the first year I was ever able to understand how poor we were, because I had to fill out all the financial forms. With five kids in my family, our annual income for the year was $11,000.
Wow.
That's poor. But the crazy thing is I never knew it. You know, I mean, I grew up in a really beautiful house, and my parents, you know, gave us a lot of love and attention. And even though we didn't have things, you know, it didn't really matter. I grew up in Granada Hills, and it was a, you know, it was a great time. And I started working at the age of five, and I never stopped. You know, I was a gardener. I pulled weeds and mowed lawns. And then when I was older, I could babysit and work at the grocery store. And then I worked in an ice cream parlor. And then, you know, in college, I was a university escort. I would drive dignitaries around. And I mean, I never stopped working. And, you know, as I started working more and more, you know, I realized what the why was. And the why was not to become wealthy, but to give back. You know, I always say, if you end up making a lot of money in your life and you don't use it to help people, shame on you. You know, and when I got to a point where I could afford to take care of my parents and my family and my grandparents, you know, my business partner and I grew up on the opposite sides of the train tracks. You know, we grew Discus Dental literally from zero to $1.3 billion in sales. But he grew up in one of the wealthiest families in LA. I mean, he came from a completely different background than I did. We were so poor, we never gave, because we didn't have to give. You know, but he grew up in a family where they gave millions of dollars to charity every year. So I really learned giving from him. And as our company started making money from its inception, we gave back and gave back and gave back. And the more we made, the more we gave back. And, you know, together with a really unique group of dentists and country singer Garth Brooks, we launched a campaign called Smiles for Life, where we raised over $44 million for children's charities. And it was a phenomenal thing. So, you know, I think that as I became more and more successful in my career, it gave me a greater ability to touch more lives and help. And that's why I'm so passionate about my why. My biggest why now is with LEAP. It's a motivational leadership program that I do for high school and college kids. Now, for the last 13 years, it's been live. This year, we had to do a big pivot. We made it virtual. But if you want information on LEAP, you can go to www.leapfoundation.com and get information. But this is a program, it's a nonprofit that I set up. Next year in 2021, it will be from the 18th to the 24th of July. And we bring in amazing speakers. And the thing that's so cool about this, Eric, is every single one of my celebrity patients that I've asked to participate in this has said yes. Usher, yeah. Anthony Hopkins, Paula Abdul, Kathy Bates, Eric Garcetti, Michael Strahan, Mark Wahlberg. I mean, on and on and on and on. And they, I mean, I could never afford to pay these people what they would normally get to come and do something like this. They all come and they speak for free because, like me, they believe that our future is in the youth of America, and they want to help form that and give these kids the tools that they need to be successful in life. And that's what we do at LEAP. It's a week-long program where these students come and we teach them things like networking and how to apply for a job. And I even do a whole thing called How to Be a Gentleman. 60% of the kids come on scholarship. And a lot of these kids don't have a positive male role model in their life. We teach them eating etiquette, dating etiquette, job etiquette. We teach them appreciation. Where do kids learn appreciation today? They don't. Do you have kids?
No, I don't. I'm single.
Yeah, let me tell you something. It's a different world out there. And you know, my kids are growing up way different than I did. You know, I grew up in Granada Hills. My kids grew up in Beverly Hills. The only commonality is the word hills.
Yeah.
It was a whole different experience.
Now, Dr. Bill, listen, I really wanted to ask you because this is really important, right? So several years ago, as you transitioned, right, you've changed that mindset of really building upon, you've had this resilience and this tenacity. You've come from absolutely, you know, nothing, like you said, and you transitioned into a way to now being a man of philanthropy, contribution, growth. What changed in your beliefs that really manifested and has now stayed? So now that you can serve, because this beautiful LEAP Foundation that you're doing, it really lays a beautiful guiding light and a foundation for the generations to come. So what is it that changed in your beliefs that now you can are helping, you know, these young men and women change their beliefs?
Well, I think it's pretty easy. Look at, if you don't have food, you can't give food away. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know how poor we were. Like, I didn't know we didn't have anything. I just knew if I wanted a pair of roller skates, I had to go cut lawns, make money, and get roller skates. But once I had enough money to buy my own roller skates, I thought, I can buy somebody else a pair of roller skates. You know, like, I think it was for me is like when I got to a point where I realized, you know what, I have enough, you know, I can help other people. And then something just clicked. And, you know, there's a saying, he who gives receives the greatest gift. And I really felt that. You know, that's what I felt. And so, you know, I love helping change these kids' life. I'll tell you something. At LEAP, we teach appreciation. I don't know another program in the world that teaches appreciation. By the way, I know you're Canadian. We get a ton of Canadian kids. Canadians love sending their kids to this program because it is literally the most unique program in the world. For what we do, I don't know another program that does this. We give the kids a stack of blank pages called I Appreciate Notes. And at the top it says, I appreciate, and then there's a blank line, and then they write something and then they sign it. Typically, I would say last year, not this year at the virtual program where we had over 1,000 kids, but last year at UCLA where we had about 400 kids, I probably got 400 I appreciate notes. And 99% of them, Eric, would say something like this. Hey, Dr. Bill, I really appreciate you and the LEAP team. LEAP changed my life.
Nice. Yeah.
And I know it did. Now, Eric, I said 99% said that. You know what the other 1% said? Said, hey, Dr. Bill, LEAP saved my life.
Yeah.
And you know what? It did. There are kids that come into this program. They've got no family support, no friend support, no support at all. And then on top of that, they're getting you know, pounded by social media stuff and junk all day. It is rough. Eric, it's really rough for kids today. You know, and one of the biggest problems that I tell kids is you compare your deepest, darkest insides to everybody else's bright, sunny, happy outsides.
But you don't see what's actually going on.
Yep. Exactly.
And exactly. You know, the coolest thing about this whole scenario, like how you're serving, you know, children. I don't know if you know this, but when I was, you know, 15 to 18, I was addicted to crack cocaine and I had like a negative experience. So this really speaks to me because these are the foundations, the people that are already role models to so much of the world coming and speaking to our youth, to the generations to come, and being able to really serve in that way where they're coming from a sense of leadership, because that leadership creates leadership. And what I'm noticing is, like, it's like Tony Robbins says, is like the meaning of living is giving. And I think, you know, if we could send a message to anybody that's, you know, 15, 20, 25, or even ourselves, our younger versions of ourselves, it's like, what can we do to leave a legacy? Would you agree, Dr. Bill?
Totally. Listen, if you exist on this earth without having influenced other people and making the world better, shame on you. You know, I mean, it's funny. Okay, I have this guilty pleasure. I love watching Family Feud. I just do. I think Steve Harvey is a comedic genius. And if they'll let me on the show, I know I have to do the celebrity version, but I want to do it. But he said something last night and it really stuck with me. So they, you know how the show goes, they survey a studio audience of 100 people. Mm. And he said, if you had to rate the story of your life on a scale from 1 to 10, what number would you pick? 99% of the people surveyed rated their life story as a 1. As a 1, being the lowest on a scale of 1 to 10. 99%. The first thing I do with kids when they get to LEAP is I say, hey, listen, when you woke up this morning, whether you think you did this or not, you did it. You put a number on your head from 1 to 10. How many of you did not put a 10 on your head? They kind of raise their hand. And then I look at them and I say, who picked the number? You. Why would you pick anything less than a 10? You didn't have to take a test. You didn't have to pay anything. You didn't even have to do anything. I said, wipe it off and put a 10 on there. I said, you need to walk like a 10, talk like a 10, act like a 10, but most importantly, surround yourself with other 10s. And at LEAP, we call it the 10 culture. And I give all the kids these little pop sockets to put on their phone so that they can be, walk, act like a 10. And I said, the hardest thing in your life is you need to look at your friend base. And you know what? Some of those people you're hanging out with are 2s. Get rid of them. Because if you're trying to be a 10 and you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of 2s, you know what happens? You become a crackhead, right?
Exactly. Yep. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way,
Go ahead. Are you ready for this?
I love it. Yeah.
We grew Discus Dental for 20 years. We sold Discus Dental on 10, 10, 10 at 10 a.m. October 10th, 2010 at 9 a.m. The merger documents came into my office and I literally signed them at 10 a.m. Now, I know I could wait till 10:10, but I wasn't that anal compulsive. It was hard enough. And I'll tell you something else. In my life, I never, ever, ever imagined that I could push a button that would change my life so much. Pushing one button and sending those merger documents to Phillips to sell my company literally changed my life. And people that say, oh, money doesn't matter, they're idiots. Yes, it does. Now, I'm not going to tell you money buys happiness, because I know plenty of miserable rich people. But I will tell you this. It's pretty damn hard to be happy when you are broke ass poor.
I would even add to that, that it actually enhances who you are. So if you're a shitty person and you have more money, you might continue to evolve into a shitty way. But if you're a great person and you have more money, you get to evolve into a greater way. Would you agree?
Yes and no. I mean, look, I know plenty of really, really wealthy people that don't care about anybody but themselves. You know, and I know plenty of people that aren't even that wealthy that really make a huge effort to change the world. So, you know, and some of these really wealthy people that don't care are really nice people. Like, they're good people.
Yeah.
They're just selfish and self-centered. I don't know. You know, those aren't the people I like to hang out with. I don't call them tens.
And, you know, it's like, how can we evolve that conscious level around some of these amazing wealthy people and continue to bring this higher level of vibration by, you know, maybe describing, you know, a process that you do at Leap, or raising more awareness to not just these young individuals, because obviously we're helping them, or you're helping them, you know, in it over this week long period. But what is the process that you perhaps can use in that evolution process for the young generation, and transition that over to perhaps people that are at a higher level in life, but it, you know, maybe are looking for some sort of meaning to life, where they're looking to contribute or grow or offer more of their wealth in a way that can actually enhance other people's lives. Do you have any process or suggestion around that?
Well, I think you asked essentially two different questions. So I'll deal with both of them. You're talking about completely different populations. Number one, my kids, like I said, did not grow up the way I grew up. Yep. And I will tell you, Eric, when you have children of your own, or you're in a position where you can influence younger people, it doesn't matter what you tell them. It matters what you show them. So at a very, very early age, like at 4, I started taking my kids on humanitarian trips around the world, where we would go into jungles and we would go into these really, really impoverished areas and do dentistry for free. Because my kids grew up in Beverly Hills with Gucci and all this other stuff. They didn't know what a jungle was. The first time I took one of my daughters on a hike, there was a hill behind our house. She was like 3 and a half. She started crying. And I said, well, what's wrong? She goes, Papa, I'm melting. She had never sweat before. She thought she was melting, you know? So, I mean, I made sure that my kids didn't grow up in this Gucci vacuum, you know? I took my kids and I put them in the jungles with mosquitoes and mud and flies and generators. And, you know, we did dentistry on these kids. So I think as a parent, or as somebody who's in a position to influence kids, when you ask me, how do you teach them this? You don't teach them, you show them.
Beautiful.
Now, the other part of your question was, what can you do for this population of older people that actually has the wherewithal to help do this. That's a tougher population because I didn't raise those people. And one of the things I teach at LEAP is the most powerful three-letter word in the English language, ask. And I ask. And, you know, sometimes people say no and sometimes people say yes. But I don't just ask. I ask and I show them the changes that they can make in these young people's lives. It's funny, there's a guy in my building. He's a billionaire. And we got started talking. I met him in the gym. And I asked him what he did, and he told me what he did. And I said, are you involved in any kind of charities or whatnot? He goes, yeah. He goes, I have a program that works with kids from 5 to 15. I said, wow, that's crazy, because I have a program that works with kids from 15 to 25. He's like, yeah, good luck. I go, well, what do you mean good luck? He goes, 15? We stopped at 15 because we realized that after 15, you can't do anything with these kids. They're baked. I said, you're so wrong. He goes, so we had this argument, and it turned out it was a week before LEAP. And I said, listen, why don't you, his wife is a psychologist. I said, why don't you and your wife come to LEAP, you know, and sit in the back and just be a fly on the wall and look what we do. And he came, he watched, and he gave me $10,000. He said, I want to help sponsor kids. And every year, he doubles it. Wow. And he sponsors kids that come to the program. And this year, we were up to $40,000.
Wow. So you know, you've clearly, how long has LEAP been going on for now?
13 years. This was lucky number 13. So this year we made it a virtual program. We pivoted.
Yeah.
And we actually got 1,000 kids in the program. We normally have about 450. You know where all my Canadian kids come from? You're going to die when I tell you this. You ready?
Where?
Kenora.
Kenora. I don't know much about
Way Kenora. Up above Winnipeg.
Oh, that's probably why I don't know much about it. Yeah, there you go. Beautiful.
It's so far out there. So in order to make the program a success, we have people we call mentors that come. So on Friday of LEAP Week, we put all the kids in a room with 100 different professionals from all walks of life. We've got doctors and lawyers and firefighters and whatever. I have a friend who's a very successful fashion model, and he came from Kenora, and he now lives in LA. So he was one of the mentors in the program, and his brother, his name's Josh Milko, his brother, Jared Milko, is a teacher in Kenora. So he told his brother about the program. Jared got their school system to sponsor and send 10 kids to the program. So they've done it for the last 3 years. Well, this year, because it was virtual and it was a lot less expensive than actually sending kids down, we had 50 kids from Kenora involved in the program.
And that's the beautiful thing about pivoting now online so much, like with you know, even, you know, Tony's doing events, like everyone's doing these big events online and having way more impact. So, you know, with LEAP 13 years ago, where did this this idea come from originally? And how do you continue to evolve the pivot? Because, you know, clearly you come up with really good ideas, Bill, right? And where do you find through LEAP or through Discus or through the constant evolution of your own, you know, health, body, you know, fitness journey, where do you come up with your best ideas?
Wow, you just asked like 15 questions in one.
Best ideas in all different scenarios, right? So where do you come up with the best ideas in your fitness, in your health, in your business, in your nonprofit? So because essentially it's cross, you know, it's cross-pollinated, right?
You know, there's a principle that we teach at LEAP, and I live it fully. Copy genius. So when I came to Beverly Hills, you think they need another cosmetic dentist? Heck no. What'd I do? I called the 5 most successful cosmetic dentists. I went in and I asked if I could shadow them. And I spent a week in each of their office, and I pulled all the great stuff that they did in all these offices and collectively put them all in my office. And within a year or two, my office was 10 times more successful than all of theirs. It's copy genius, you know? If you see, then that's what we do at LEAP. It's mentorship, is I bring in great people to share the secrets of their success with these kids. Listen, I have spoken at more dental schools than any other dentist in the history of dentistry. I never let a dental school pay me. I do it for free. I consider it an honor and a privilege. And the first thing I tell those students when I get on stage in front of them is, listen, I'm gonna stand up here and I'm gonna tell you all the great, amazing, wonderful things that I've done in my life. Not to brag. I'm not getting paid for this. I'm not coming here to brag. I'm coming here so you can copy what I've done and make it better. If there's anything that I've done in my career that can inspire you to do something even better, that's why I'm here. So don't look at this as like, I don't need to come here and brag. I'm not bragging. I want to plant a seed, and I want you guys to go out and be more successful than me, do more than me, raise more money than me. That's why I'm here. Because I'll be honest with you, dentistry has exceeded every expectation I had. I mean, I didn't just go and drill teeth. I used dentistry as a platform to become a New York Times bestselling author, to get 20 Lifetime Achievement Awards, to get knighted. I'm the only dentist in the world who is knighted by the Royal Order of Constantine. I mean, it's been crazy. I've been flown into countries to treat kings and queens of country. I mean, my career blows my mind. If I actually sit and tell people, they think I'm full of it. They're like, nah, that couldn't happen. It happened.
It's crazy. And you deserve it all. Tell us a little bit more about this Royal Order, because I'm not very familiar with it. I'd love to know how you got knighted and what that entails.
The Royal Order of Constantine was the first knighting entity in the world. And basically, they recognize you for outstanding contribution to your profession and philanthropy. And I was nominated, and yeah, I am amazing. Now Dr. Sir William Michael Dorfman.
I love it, man. Now, clearly, abundance is something that is a huge, you know, integral part of your legacy. And would you agree? I think that abundance is a huge integral part, the way that you are leaving it behind, and the essence of abundance, whether it's wealth, health, freedom, mentality, growth, contribution. How do those values show up in your work?
It's funny. I don't really look at it as abundance. Never have. I mean, beautiful. It's the first time anybody's ever really referred to me as having abundance. I guess I still feel like this poor kid from Granada Hills, you know? I don't know. I never really thought of abundance, you know? I don't live like excessively. I mean, maybe to some people it would seem as I do, but I know people in my position that live much, much, much more lavishly than I do, you know. I don't know. I never really looked at it as abundance.
But I'm not just saying like abundance in monetary value. I'm also saying in your health, in the way that you give to people, in the way that you serve and contribute to the world, and giving.
You know
that,
what? I mean, that about- again, another LEAP principle. When you go, go big. You know, I don't do anything half-ass. Like, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And I'll tell you something else, and I'll share this with your listeners. Right now, starting today, you can do something that I give to kids that is so incredibly powerful. And it's this. I never fail. You can sit in your seat right now where you are and make a commitment to yourself to never fail again. And you never have to. Because here's the thing. If you try something and it doesn't come out the way you want, it's not failure. It's practice. Then do it again and again and again and again and again if you have to. You really only fail when you quit. Don't quit. If you don't quit, you don't fail. I refuse to fail. If I want to do something, I will do it and do it and do it and do it until I actually succeed. And everything along the way, and sometimes you need to practice a lot to get somewhere, yeah. But everything along the way is practice. And there's something else. There's another concept that's really important. We've all heard the term practice makes what?
Perfect.
Wrong. Practice makes permanent. When you practice something the wrong way, it's never going to get perfect. It will become permanent.
Wow. Yeah, what a distinction. Because if we're learning the wrong things consistently, it's like our belief systems, right? That means that it's going to become permanent if we don't change anything. I love the distinction. I love the change in that. And so, you know, Dr. Bill, people are going to obviously come to you with differences of opinions. I'm sure that they have over the past 30 years in the way, you know, whether it's you run your business or you run LEAP or, you know, maybe you treat a client. How do you respond to people that have different views from you?
You know, our perception is our reality. And people have different realities. I once interviewed one of my friend's fathers, casually. This was at a barbecue. This guy is, you know, he's in his 80s. He's been with his wife for 65 years. They have one of the happiest marriages I've ever seen. There aren't a lot of married couples that are really, really happy and in love. It's pretty rare, right? And I said to him, I said, what's the secret? He goes, what do you mean? I just look at you and your wife and I could just see the love radiating out of you guys. Like, you don't see that often. He goes, it's pretty easy. I said, what? He goes, listen, if she and I are having a discussion and I know I'm right and she completely disagrees, I'm okay with that. I don't need to convince her. Let her be wrong. I'm totally okay. I know I'm right. And that's fine. She could be as wrong as she wants to be. And that's fine too. And I kind of do that with people. It's like, if you and I have a conversation and you want to tell me that, you know, blue is green, I know blue is blue. And I'm okay with you thinking blue is green. You can be wrong all you want. It doesn't bother me. Like, what am I going to kill myself to try and convince you that blue is blue? For what?
So you're really experiencing, you're allowing the other person to experience their perception of their reality, and you don't disagree, you allow them to just really, what if it's something that really is like a little bit more of like, you know, something that, that you believe in, something that is a little bit more of an esoteric or a you know, philosophy in the way that you are, you know, contributing to the world.
Good for me.
I love it.
You know what I mean? I mean, good for me. I'm glad that I'm happy with it. Look, at the end of the day, all that really matters, you need to look in the mirror and like what you see. You know, that's all that matters. You know, there were a few years ago, I did something really stupid at Leap. I was really rushed. It was a crunch. And I had put in the marketing brochure that I would do a lecture on dating, right? And I realized the day before I was supposed to give this lecture that I hadn't prepared it. There was just so much. I speak at least 70% of the week-long program. It's me on stage. And I just didn't get time to put this program together. And so I asked my assistant, Nicole, who's one of the most competent people I've ever met, to just go online. There are like presentations that you can download on different things and find a good one on dating, respectable dating, and just, you know, kind of cater it to the Leap audience. And she did. And I just took a quick glance over it, looked good to me. I went up and I gave a 1-hour thing on respectable dating. At the end, two young men came up to me and said something I'd never heard at Leap. They said, "Dr. Bill, we're leaving. That was horrible, what you just did." And I was shocked. I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, what was horrible? And they said, "We're gay. You just gave a 1-hour presentation on dating for men dating women, and you never even acknowledged the fact that a man could date another man." I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. That was so insensitive of me. And it was, and I know better. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just one of those things where I was rushed. I really didn't think about it. And it wasn't intentional at all. And I said, "Please don't leave and accept my apology. And not only that, I will apologize in front of the entire group tomorrow." And I got up on stage at the beginning of the day with 450 kids, and I made a public apology. And I said, "I need to tell you something else." I said, "You know, I'm 61 years old, okay? In my entire life, in my entire adult life, I have never once said anything to intentionally hurt anybody. And I'm sorry that I hurt you guys. I would never do that." You know, I mean, and I'm not gonna say there are people in this world I just don't like, I don't care for. I wouldn't say anything bad to them or even try to hurt them or say something. That's just not my nature. I wouldn't do it. So the fact that I actually sit on stage for an hour and did something that they felt was hurtful, it hurt me. And I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. And I apologize, and the guys stayed and they ended up having a great time. And I completely revamped that seminar. And now it is very, very loosey-goosey on the dating thing.
I love it. And you know, the fact that you showed vulnerability and being able to go on stage and to share that shows tremendous strength and power and a way to create like unity and healing for, you know, for a collective, right, of 450 plus people, because that means that you've given them permission to make mistakes, you know, as well. And I think that there's a lot of nobility in that, Dr. Bill. And I think that that's something that, you know, I just want to acknowledge, because I think that that's tremendous, that you did that. So blessings to that. Now, I know we have a few minutes left, Dr. Bill. I want to just really, before we go, I want to, you know, make sure that we get, if anybody, you know, is looking to find out more about LEAP, how to connect with you, how to get their kids enrolled into any of your programs, you know, or if there's any way that they can reach out to you, please, you want to just let us know how they can do that. I'll add all of the links into the show notes as well.
I'm probably one of the only people who actually has like a million followers on Instagram who actually answers all of my DMs. So just reach out on Instagram, on DM. It's just Dr. Dr. Bill Dorfman. And I promise to respond. I never, ever, ever don't. Also, like you, Eric, I have a really fun podcast. It's called Meet the Mentor. And I just got the ratings last night. I am number one in Yemen. I'm number two in Iceland. I'm number three in Israel. I mean, it's crazy. And I'm 94th in the U.S. in a category with 47,000, which is pretty awesome. But the cool thing about Meet the Mentor is from all the people that I interviewed at LEAP, like Mark Wahlberg and Anthony Hopkins and Eva Longoria and Apollo Ono. I mean, they all gave amazing interviews, and there's a lot of really great, great information in there. And, you know, LEAP will be in person unless coronavirus continues for another year. And, oh, that would be horrible if it did. But anyhow, you can sign up for LEAP 2021 at www.leapfoundation.com. The fee to go for a full week in person is $2,500, but virtually it's $449. So if you are a parent and you have a kid 15 to 25 and you don't send them the LEAP, shame on you.
I love it. Definitely check it out, everybody. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be tremendous for the kids. I know it's something that I would have loved to go when I was younger. And I'll make sure to add all the links also in the show notes there, Dr. Bill.
Now, I need to tell you something. One of my greatest LEAP highlights in my heart. So Apollo Ono came the year after he won all of his medals, his third Olympic, right? And as we're going off the stage, he puts his arm around me. He goes, "Doc, if I had a program like this growing up, I could have done so much more." This is the most decorated Winter Olympian in the world. How amazing was that?
Yeah, man. It's true, man. We can all really learn from that, right? And you know, the fact that you're doing it, I think it is amazing and needs to be very, it needs to be endorsed more, it needs to be acknowledged more, and it needs to be out there more. So I'm super grateful to be able to share that with the audience. Dr. Bill, I have one last question, because I know we're running out of time, and I really want to really get a good understanding. I ask everybody this question because it's super profound. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
If I had 3 days left to live, what would I do? I have the biggest party in the world and invite everybody that mattered to me.
I love it. I love it, my friend. Do you have any last questions or last insights, last statements that you want to just share with the audience before we go?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, you have to realize this is not a dress rehearsal. Live your best life. That's it.
Yes. Let's live our best life all together. Dr. Bill, it's been a pleasure to get to you know, connect with you. It's been a pleasure to learn some of your insights, and it's amazing to see what you're doing. I look forward to continuing this relationship, and many blessings to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Over and out.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now! As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Balance signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.